da 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 da.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
And if you're hurting inside,
get a turnbuckle boogie t-shirt,
get
motherfuckers.
Get yourself a turnbuckle boogie t-shirt.
Yes.
There's only one way to do it. All you got to do is click on the show notes and click on our Brainbuster Tea Store link. You'll be redirected to the store where you can get a turnbuckle boogie t-shirt or hoodie. Hey, we're in October here, so it's going to be cold any minute now.
Yes, soon enough.
Get yourself a hoodie. Anyway, that's it for the intro. Let's now talk about the fun stuff. Yeah?
I think I'm ready to boogie.
Let's boogie! Hey everyone, welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. I am pro wrestling historian Timothy Styles, and with me is pro wrestler and newly married fella, Cutthroat Cody Hancock.
That is I, and it's funny, when you started out with the I am a real American riff, there was a time where my friend Eric Harden and I were in a Walmart, and out of nowhere, we're in the shoe aisle, and it comes on, and
at a Walmart,
in a Walmart,
and your story checks out so far.
Yeah, in the little tiny aisle, I blew a Hogan comeback on him and dropped the shittiest leg drop on him.
Oh,
yeah, it was fun.
You know, I got to give props to Hogan, I'll give props to all wrestlers out there. You know, you think you can do a lot of this stuff, you know, as a civilian, and then you do something. And you really hurt yourself and you go, oh my God, I could tell you, I've both dropped the leg and done the Stone Cold Stunner.
Yep.
And they are the equivalent of how I landed once I was skating to a friend's house to play Dungeons and Dragons, like all the cool kids do.
Of course.
I was skating over to his house. I hit a rock and then I kicked the skateboard straight out. So my legs went straight out like I was suspended in midair in the sitting position.
You like Yokozuna bumped on that one.
I came straight down on the sidewalk. Concrete, boom.
Yep.
Sprained tailbone. I mean, I think it was sprained, but the shit felt like it had broken in a million pieces.
Yep.
And I was in pain for several weeks, sitting, standing, lying down. None of it mattered. It was brutal.
Excruciating.
Anyway, I've had similar experiences doing a leg drop and the stunner's even worse.
Yeah.
In fact, that's why I always went Athena. You know Athena. She was
yes.
She was the wolf broad in NXT. What was her name?
Ember Moon.
Ember Moon, yeah. She was a lycanthrope. Whenever she would do that front flip
Stunner.
Yeah. I would always go, what is this broad's deal? Is she not thinking 1 year in advance? What a fucking idiot. Steve Austin would tell her, that's stupid. Your fucking tailbone is going to hate you in 2 months.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, she, if memory serves me correct, I think she still does the move.
I'm sure she does because it gets a huge pop, but
it is sensational.
If your career is over in a couple of years, what is it all worth it?
Agreed. Agreed.
Use your brains, people.
Yeah.
And also, if you're going to be skateboarding, get those big kind of soft wheels.
Yeah, the big soft boys.
Yeah.
And get the knee pads that have like the hard plastic on the outside of them.
That's right. Yeah, in the 90s, interesting time. I was skateboarding, and it was during that time where both of the ends of the skateboard were kicked up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's still a thing, but some of these kids are rolling around on these little banana plastic boards, and the wheels were the smallest things ever. In fact, in some cases, it's like the smaller the wheels were, the cooler you were.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of rims and black dudes.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. you know, it went from 18s to 20s to 22s.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now I understand what you're talking about. I'm like, wait a second. You're talking about like rims for cars. Yes. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's the opposite for white nerdy skaters.
Yeah.
The smaller the wheel.
There, it works out.
Well, anyway, I alluded to it earlier, but you got married.
Yes, I got hitched to Casey at the Future Stars Wrestling Arena in what was, we didn't count the turnout, but it was pretty packed.
I could tell you. So I showed up for it.
Yes.
And
you're appreciated for being there.
I don't mean to make you feel
bad. Yeah.
I RSVP'd for this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Somebody overbooked this bullshit and I didn't see any of it because I stood out basically by the front door and didn't see anything.
Well, I do apologize that you RSVP'd and it was overbooked, but there is,
it was all a fucking work anyway. There was a run in there. There's promos being cut.
Yeah.
I could hear it all.
It was and there is footage. And I am very proud of the amount of work that everyone really put into it. I definitely have to shout out Thomas D'Antonio from Future Stars of Wrestling, who has transitioned out of pro wrestling and into a production role. Used to be Spider Warrior. We're all familiar with Spider Warrior. And he,
I hung out with him at the bachelor party.
Yes.
Oh, that's a whole nother subject. I got to talk to you about this bachelor party.
Okay. What about the bachelor party?
How about the first thing I see when I get there is your my fucking wife.
Yeah.
God damn it. What's with these millennial bachelor parties where people are allergic to boobs?
Well, I can tell you this much. I've never liked strip clubs.
Of course you haven't. But you know what? A bachelor party's not for you. It's for everyone else.
Well, forgive me for not for being selfish. No, Casey requested to be there, and that was one thing.
But you know what? That's where you put the foot down. You need to establish this early. You put the foot down. And you go, look, you're my property, and I'm the man of the house now.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think that doing that would be behooving for me in the future when it comes to asking for favors to be done with my genitalia.
Look, you don't have to say it out loud. You could just simply leave a copy of, you know, whatever legal document that shows, you know, she's technically your legal property.
Yeah, I'm we're not doing that. Yeah.
Just a reminder.
The bachelor party was fun. We went down to Player One. We played some arcade games. It took us a while to get to an N64.
This was an arcade bar.
Yes.
So you can get some of these drinks these bartenders were serving up were preposterous.
Yes.
You know, they had like whipped cream in them and crazy straws and all this sort of stupid shit.
They had metal martini glasses.
Right.
Yeah, they were delicious.
All you want, like, yeah, give me a PBR. And because I was so far from my house, you know, I have a rule about drinking. If I'm not within crawling distance of my house, I'm not going to do it.
There we go.
So I was sober.
Dealing with everyone else that was drunk.
And didn't see one Hooter. Boo.
It was a shame.
I really went there in the hopes to scare some toxic masculinity into some of you young people. It didn't work.
Oh, listen. I
was really trying to get Thrillbilly Silas Mason going, like, yeah, come on, help me. We need to get this to the Booby Palace or something.
Yeah, oh, man. The one person that would have shown up that would have gotten us to go to the Booby Palace, unfortunately, was unable to attend. It was my friend Andrew.
Curses.
And Andrew was very much like, we need to go. Strippers don't like me.
Strippers don't like anyone because no one sees them but creeps.
Right.
I should say, I'm saying all these things in jest. I don't like strip clubs either. They're really expensive. And I just don't like being blue-balled all that much.
Yes. Yeah. It's not the most fun thing in the world for me.
And I can see boobs literally whenever I want.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
I bought the cow.
Yeah. And I asked the cow for... No.
You're going to get in trouble.
I feel like you're literally just making a quicksand pile.
You need a wife that doesn't listen to your show like mine.
Yeah, my wife doesn't listen to the show either, but her dad does. Hey, Fred.
Exactly.
Yeah, Fred is an avid listener of Turnbuckle Boogie.
My entire family doesn't know that I do a podcast.
Yeah, it's that might not be the worst thing in the world sometimes.
Why do you think I speak so freely?
You don't want to have to tighten up your collar?
Hey, man, I like joking and talking shit.
Yeah.
And if I thought like my wife was listening, I guess there would be 100% less booby talk.
Yeah.
But anyway, we went to this bachelor party and had a good time. I got to hang out for the first time ever with the Thrill Billy, Silas Mason.
Who was joined by Dangerous Devin Dixon and AJ Kazana. Yes, it was a fun time.
And he really is a fucking Thrill Billy.
Yes,
that
he
guy
is.
Was the best. I don't know. We barely know each other. We know each other just from doing the Boogie Manias at the end of every season.
Yeah.
And it's like we were long lost brothers.
Yeah, man.
Goddamn, I love him already.
Yeah.
It's fun, too.
And those three boys, the wedding couldn't have been pulled off without the help of a lot of people. And Silas and Devin, as well as Marco Arriaga, who is Lazarus and Sandra Moon's brother, the amount of work they actually put in. Like, I picked up Devin from the airport first. We went and we got Del Taco and some beer. We went back to the apartment. And he was like, okay, let's start talking about this. I didn't have to initiate it. Same thing with Silas. Didn't have to initiate it. Marco was on point. Lazarus and Nick Bugatti were involved. And I wish I could have had more people involved. But Bradley, who Mastermind, who works at Carl's Cactus Comics, who is one of the students that has cerebral palsy, got to make his pro wrestling debut and did a fantastic job, actually. And it was a really special moment. And there's so many other people to thank, but there's footage of it. It's on the internet. Watch it, enjoy it, have a good time. Very proud of how it came out.
It was fun for me because I got to see some Turnbuckle Boogie shirts out in the wild. Also, you know, I think a lot of people, because I don't regularly go to every FSW show out here in Las Vegas, I think a lot of people don't realize even what I look like.
Yeah.
I think my voice might be a little bit misdirection because it's very nasally and
yes.
Very feminine.
What?
You don't think so?
No.
I've got a... Well, all right, that's when I sing. I got a very feminine singing voice. Anyway...
Ooh la la.
Then you see me in person, and there I am with my boots on, 6'3", 250.
Yeah.
People start looking up and go, holy shit, well, you do not look like you sound.
Right, and I think that that's the... It's part of the mystique, and it... Bionic Scoop always rocks a Turnbuckle Boogie shirt. You know, Ryan West has been caught out... who did an absolutely amazing job. Westinsky on Instagram, y'all. The pictures that he took were just mind-blowing. He rocks a Turnbuckle Boogie shirt out in public from time to time.
My dude.
Yeah, so it was really cool to... I think the main reason it was overbooked was because there's a lot of people that thankfully care enough about Casey and I. And not only was it just the wrestling community, but... it was Casey's family, it was her coworkers, and it was my family, and it was my childhood friends, who a lot of them didn't even realize they were all in the same room until after the ceremony was done and over with.
Mm-hmm.
And I gathered everyone together kind of for the same group picture. And then all of a sudden, everyone's kind of looking at each other like, oh, wow, like people were reconnecting. The feedback that I've received from everyone that was there said it was probably one of the most entertaining weddings they've ever been to. And that was the goal, was to have a wedding that didn't feel boring, that was fun and exciting.
Well, I'm glad they got to enjoy it.
Anyway, I'm so sorry, sir. Watch it back on film.
Fuck that. That's something for the married couple to do.
There we go.
And by the way, I think I have a video of my own wedding. I don't think I've rewatched it.
Really?
Yeah. And we're at the, we just passed the 15 year mark.
Mm. Well, I've rewatched ours a couple times. Like, and I've been taking clips from it too, because there's gags in there, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a wrestling show.
Yeah.
It was in the middle of a ring, and there was a run in and some promos and a ribbon shower. The whole shit.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one got super kicked.
Whole shebang.
A small match broke out. I heard all of this.
Yeah.
At 6'8", 340 pounds, that's some kind of man. Hulkster, every time you step in the ring, I know the adrenaline flows, but now in front of your hometown fans.
You know something, Killer Ken? This is the happiest day in all my life. You know, about 10 years ago, I left Tampa, Florida, my hometown, with a big chip on my shoulder. I went out to Venice Beach, and I started wrestling all around the world. I took on all the top contenders, Daddy. And then the day of reckoning came. I stepped in the ring with a man named Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. I went head to head with him. And you know something? The Dream taught me what it was all about. He taught me about love and living, fighting and getting down to war. And you know something? Once I was a sinner, and now I'm a saint. And the reason is because of Dusty Rhodes. After that, I went all around the world, and I was chasing the world's heavyweight champion. And then I get this call from Sylvester Stallone. Yeah, I took him up on his offer. Yeah, I went to Hollywood. I had a permanent address on Hollywood and Vine. But you know something? It just turned me off. Every time I thought about getting back in the combat zone, that's all I could think about was getting back in the squared circle and going after the ultimate goal, the world's heavyweight title. Well, since that day, Killer Ken, I've been on a rampage. I've been cleaning house everywhere I went, and Hulkamania's been running wild. And then I found out I had three or four top contenders lined up this week. I opened all the letters, and what did I find? I found one of the top contenders in the country, in Tampa, Florida, my own hometown. Can you imagine how excited I was? This Elijah Akeen. And you know something? I did some checking up on the dude. I heard he's pretty heavy. I've heard he's caused a lot of trouble. And I've heard he's even dropped to his knees for a man named Kevin Sullivan, worshiping materialistic things. And it just turned me off. That's the reason I was so quick to sign my name on the dotted line. And you know something? When I put these 24-inch pythons around Elijah's waist, and I squeeze and squeeze, I want to hear the snap, the crack, on the pop of his bones.
And Hulkster, I imagine you can't wait to perform in front of your hometown fans, a crowd that will adulate you.
Well, the thing is, there's such a sight going on. The fact that the Hulkster's coming home, the fact that it'll be the first time on sacred ground for the Hulkster. But more than that, my main man, Dusty Rhodes, the man who stands by me like a brother, he said, Hulkster, come on down. It's also my birthday. I couldn't believe it. It's the Dream's birthday. And he said, you're going to be taken in just like you're a newborn babe. All the people in Tampa Bay, all my fans, everybody that stands behind me, as long as you're a friend of mine, they're going to be behind you all the way. So I can't wait. Andy Hardy, you little goof, if your Richter scale spins around 3 and 4 times, it's not an earthquake. It's just me pressing that big Elijah over my head in the Sun Dome, slamming him to the mat. And after that, me and the Dream are going out, and we're going to party all night long. And everybody knows they never turn your back on you when you come home. I love you, T-Town. I'm coming back.
Take a look at those 24-inch pythons. Mark your calendars now. Tuesday, October 11th. Fans, whatever plans you've got, change them. You won't want to miss that one.
Anyway, today's episode, we figure since we took a week off so that you can have your wedding and not have to be bothered by talking about old crusty wrestlers, that we'd come back strong with a big one.
Yes.
And I said, hey, how about Hulk Hogan?
The crustiest.
Part of me loves that everyone hates Hulk Hogan, and, yeah. Part of me hates it. Like, because on one hand, it's like, oh yeah, I get it. On the other hand, it's like, hey man, fuck you. That's Hulk Hogan.
Well, and for, I think for you, and we've talked about it before, that you were in prime age to be a Hulkamaniac.
I guess, but I don't romanticize that. Like, yeah. I don't look back on that time period and go, you know who I really love today still?
Yeah.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Right. And
you know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's neither here nor there. However, I do, game recognizes game. Hulk Hogan was top three biggest babyface in history.
Oh, yeah.
And in my personal opinion, top one greatest heel.
Yeah.
Ever.
And
for better and worse.
I think that what made him such a great heel, though, was the fact that he was the household name. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins, fucking Thunder in Paradise, fucking, you know, like.
Oh, no one cared about Thunder in Paradise. No,
but.
The bloom was off the rose by then, but it was a big, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
No one saw it coming. Even when it was spoiled by Bobby Heenan when he was coming out, whose side is he on? You know, right. All that sort of shit. No one saw that shit coming. And when it happened, the entire arena came unglued and started throwing trash, with the exception of one guy in the front row wearing an ECW t-shirt who stood up and started doing the slow clap.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Like it's like a, I wish I can create a game called Spot the Mark.
Yeah. Like what you do is, this is one of my favorite games. It's okay. Spot the Old Worker.
Yeah, spot the worker at any wrestling show. Who's wearing the fanny pack?
Who's wearing the fanny pack and the Zubas, right?
The shirt with no sleeves.
Overly tan, right? Still in really good shape, but you can tell they're not just moving that well anymore.
Right.
Yeah, that's Spot the Worker for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't we play that once?
Yes.
And at a SmackDown taping or something.
It's the most fun thing in the world. It's wonderful.
But so Hulk Hogan, he has such a huge career that you almost don't know where to begin.
Right.
Except to say, you know, a lot of people hate him with good reason, and in some cases, not really good reasons.
Right.
He's gained this reputation as a guy who's so full of shit.
Well, and unfortunately, that is why people hate him.
Mm.
Imagine Hulk Hogan being...
But do you think it's... here's an interesting thing. O.J. Simpson kills his wife and a waiter.
Yes.
Right? And he is adamant. I didn't do it.
Right.
And he says, I didn't do it so much that you kind of start to think, and I've heard psychologists say this, that you start to actually
believe the lie,
yourself. You say it and think it so much that some sort of psychological thing happens, and that's the truth for you.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about pro wrestling and living a lifetime of lies.
Correct.
Living kayfabe, you know, for decades.
Yeah.
At what point do you start retelling stories as fact when they're probably old storylines? You know what I mean? Right.
Well, and unfortunately, though, I think that for me, the easiest comparison is that I've dealt with people that are very talented.
Yeah.
That unfortunately cannot help themselves from exacerbating truths.
Truth.
My apologies. Truth. Like, they'll exacerbate a small aspect of something and turn it into something overly sensational.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what it comes down to is...
It's like old cowboy stories.
Yeah. But there's degrees, right? Sure. So I always go back to the match that he had with The Undertaker, where he...
Where he lost the title?
He lost the title and kayfabe the neck injury. Mm. And tried telling Taker, oh, you didn't take care of me on that tombstone on the chair, and it actually put me in the hospital, when you can see clear as day on the footage that his head was at least 6 inches from the ground.
My.
Like, Undertaker took care of him in such a way that it was painfully obvious to see on camera. But then I think that it's different. If I tell you a story, like, let me tell you about this story about how we left a barcade and went to a strip club and the tits were everywhere and I had to keep on turning the ladies down and I had to convince them to take my money, as opposed to, oh, you hospitalized me. There's degrees, right? And it's like, okay, well, that's fucking Bob over there. Bob has some tall tales, right?
You're saying there's a spectrum of truth in the world of pro wrestling.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the worst sins that you can ever commit as a pro wrestler, and this is for the young heads watching, if you get caught faking an injury, you are fucked. You are fucked.
Yeah, you kind of deserve that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely you do. And I've never...
Faking an injury in the locker room, not out on the... in the ring.
Yes. No. Faking injury in the ring. Like that.
But I'm saying, I mean, isn't that the whole fucking thing is faking injuries? Oh, my back.
Well, I've seen both scenarios.
I'm just saying it's working. Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Correct. But I've seen scenarios where, I'm not going to go into naming names, mm-hmm. but there was somebody who, was very talented and adequately skilled, who ended up botching something in a match and then pretended to have a neck injury and hijacked the entire fucking rest of the match, pretending like he hurt his neck when he didn't hurt his neck.
When this was not called for.
Correct.
Well, I guess I don't know about the the details of, you know, how detailed are we talking, like, you know, is it, hey, let's just go out there and call it in the ring, or is it fucking Macho Man going, all right, here's the legal pad.
I'm not saying for that,
but I'm saying I don't know the level of details anymore of how detailed matches are.
Right.
I don't know. I guess I don't know the rules and regulations behind the scenes, but so you're saying selling good, but just saying, oh, I actually got hurt.
Mm-hmm. I need medical assistance, possibly. Please be careful moving me or touching my neck.
This is under the breath.
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's also no different than in training. Recently, there was a scenario.
Hold on. I don't want to move past that.
Yeah.
If that's what happened, if this guy was like, oh, my neck, you know, take it easy, you know, whatever. And then you get to the back and he fucking puts a popsicle in his mouth and skips to his car.
No, he carried the fake injury to the back with him as well.
Oh, and everyone's pretty adamant he was full of shit.
Yes. Because you can also watch the footage back, and it's very similar because it was a Canadian destroyer that he took.
Mm.
And he didn't take it properly, and it looked like shit.
Right.
Right? His neck actually came nowhere near close to the mat the way that he claimed that it did. And it was clear as day on the footage. Right? I also deal with this in training.
Right. What was this end game? Like, what's the point?
The end game is getting people to be sympathetic to you.
But
it's a manipulation tactic.
Yeah, I guess. But if you are supposedly injured and you're not going to be booked for a while, because I'm not going to book this guy.
He's
got a neck injury. Wink, wink.
But no, but then you're brave, though, because then you're brave and like, oh, I can fight. I can fight past this. You can use me. Right. You are missing a huge aspect of this, is that this is a part of dealing with narcissists.
But a brave to the people in the locker room?
Yes.
Okay. Whoever these people are, grow the fuck up.
But so, as I was saying,
yeah,
I deal with it in training from time to time.
Right. People just met their peak and they're just like, I can't.
Or they're scared, right? And then I'll have them do something and then they'll say, well, I'm hurt. My right arm is hurt.
Right.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, your right arm isn't hurt from what you just did. And you're saying that it is. And I can tell that you're lying. So what I normally do is if I think that somebody is lying, okay. And this was a scenario that happened where we were running drop downs as a drill. And there was somebody that was just trepidatious to even attempt to do the drill because it was a advanced drill. Mm-hmm. You know, you're running, you're moving, you're fucking hitting the mat. And it was past their comfort level. So they tried to say something about their arm before they even got in the ring. But yet I see this person do flips and everything else that they're comfortable with.
Right.
But whenever they're not comfortable, it kind of turns into, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah.
So then I said, okay, well, I can't feel my fucking pinky, my left hand. I understand being hurt. I ask that you try. And then all of a sudden to try, oh, it really aggravated everything and I can't do anything else in class. And then it turned into, I had a talk with them. And I let them know how I felt. And I'm like, you know, like there's not a lot of progress going on. Let's reapproach. Right. I was stern. I was firm. I'm like, let's go in the ring. We'll try to work on some things that you can actually do. And they said it was their right shoulder that was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I proceeded to put them in a wrist lock in their right arm and then twist their right arm over their head in order to turn around so I can grab their left arm. If their shoulder was actually injured the way they were claiming it was, they would not be able to commit to the rotation of the movement that I gave to their arm.
Right.
So I caught them lying to me.
Sure.
Like that's, so when it turns into a scenario like that, it's different about, like, if somebody lies to you and says, hey man, I'm going to come over tomorrow, right? Hey, I'm sorry I couldn't make it 2 days later. You know what I'm saying? If somebody lies to you about like this time that they ended up having sex with a midget, a donkey, a prostitute, and the mayor of Knoxville. What's up, Glenn Jacobs? You're just like, oh, that's just a tall tale. But when somebody, right? When somebody lies about something that I'm going to try to personally make you feel bad because I'm going to say that you physically harmed me when you did not, these are bad people. These are bad people. And not only that, but being put in positions of power,
yeah,
these people are dangerous. Dangerous people.
Mm. I don't know what to say about that.
That's why Hulk Hogan is hated.
That's the only reason?
There's more than one. Yeah. But over as a general overall, the roots of the tree is that. The branches are entirely different.
But when did that shit happen? 1989?
Yeah. But it happened throughout his career.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout his career. There. You can go on YouTube.
Yeah.
And find it's just as much fun as going on the Jim Cornette rabbit hole. Go watch 4 hours.
I find that hard to believe that it's just as much fun.
Well, for me it is because I was never a Hulk Hogan fan.
Yeah. Well,
there's hours.
I enjoy his contributions from a fan point of view because they are a lot of times preposterous, but you know, I dismiss a lot of things from people who are from generations past, like things like this, because they were from a different era where I've said it on the show before, the industry was essentially ruled for generations by sociopaths.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the big cracks on him, especially during WCW, was the fact that, you know, he was an old guy and would not give up his spot and was holding the title and television time and everything hostage.
Yes.
You know, and it led to the likes of the Radicals and Chris Jericho splitting because they can never get out of the cruiserweight division.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to find the documentation on this, but I vividly remember the story. Do you remember Toy Biz? Toy Biz was the toy company that used to make the X-Men figures, and they ended up making WCW figures.
Mm.
And they were fantastic figures. But
how many points of articulation?
Enough.
I love that term.
Yes, enough.
Points of articulation.
And they, amazing figures. Some of my favorite figures
of all
time.
You said enough. I actually really want to know the answer because, look, Star Wars.
More than 18 to 20.
That's too much. Star Wars had four.
Yeah.
You can move the arms at the shoulders and the legs at the thighs or at the groin area. G.I. Joe, the 3 3/4.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. They had one for the head.
They had one for the elbow.
Yeah.
One for the shoulder.
One for the groin and the gut. Yep. And then the knees, that's the right amount.
These figures had about the same amount that G.I. Joe figures had. Speaking of which, G.I. Joe figures were the best for wrestling figures back in the day. But
you didn't like those WWF hard plastic ones?
No. You can't do anything with them. They just sit there.
So what?
But they look like statues. It's nice.
I remember I used to have... what's his name? Azeem, the African Dream?
Yes. Yes, Akeem.
Yes, Akeem. And he was in the package, he was posed.
Yep.
Like he was doing the jive walk.
Yep.
It was racist as fuck.
So the Toy Biz figures, Chris Jericho had a figure.
Yeah.
The UPC rang up under Hulk Hogan's name. Hulk Hogan ended up actually getting the money from the Jericho figures sold.
Do you think that was Hogan's doing?
I don't think that it. Who knows, man?
I don't know if he has that level of pull.
I don't know if he has that level of pull, but at the same time, imagine being Chris Jericho and being frustrated with Hulk Hogan, and then all of a sudden finding out that the money that's supposed to be going to you is going to him.
Yeah.
Whether or not Hogan has any hand in doing it or not, that's not the accusation.
Right.
It's frustrating as shit, though. Right?
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially in an industry where when you start out, you're fucking making hot dogs.
Right. And it's also no different than I've been put in situations that I've had people do skeevy shit to me. Right. There was a situation, once again, not going to name names, where I was having a class and it was being recorded by people that I thought were being guests. And then it turned out that they sent off that footage to help themselves and put themselves over as trainers.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, when things like that happen, you kind of change your opinion about the person that you once thought had your best interest in mind.
Right.
Right.
So, well, I'm lucky enough to just be a fan.
Yes.
And I don't have to get into all the backstage politics. In fact,
yeah. Better stay away.
Yeah. And in fact, I like not knowing that stuff. It's why that CM Punk and Young Bucks business fucking bothered me so much.
Yep.
I do not want to know about the machinations of the game.
Yep.
Just fucking play it on your own time and keep it off TV.
Well, and not only that, but I think that it's no different than seeing what happened apparently with Andrade and Sammy Guevara.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
And, you know, there's a big issue right now in the industry where there's a lot of people that the sociopaths may be back, right?
What makes you think they ever left?
Well, correct. I agree. Yeah, that's right. But at the same time, like, this is all, do not glamorize this behavior if you are approaching to entering the industry.
Yeah.
If you're in the industry, don't glamorize this behavior. I think that
what behavior specifically?
Just bad behavior. Going and shooting and like, oh, I'm going to tell, I have a problem with this person, so I'm going to put it out in public.
Right.
Anytime I've had a problem with somebody, like, and if, especially if they try to address it in a public forum, they will get a message in their DMs.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, we're going to talk about this privately.
Yes.
And I have a problem with you privately.
Right.
And we're going to settle the problem between us. And if it doesn't get resolved, then we're going to go to another person that's going to have to mediate.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to take the piss out of you publicly. Right. Right?
Because, and by the way, I tip my cap to you. That's the right way to handle these issues.
And there's some situations, though, right? Now, I didn't text about Josh Matthews. You know what I'm saying? I didn't put that up in text, bold print, or anything like that. But if anybody listens to Turnbuckle Boogie, they can find out how I feel about him. There's days that I regret saying what I said, but there's also days that I stand by. Like, dude, some people get away with treating other people like shit.
Right.
How does that stop?
Hey, we're a small show. No one gives a shit.
Right. Well, it stops by people learning to stand up to people that are obstacles.
Right.
And I feel like, unfortunately, there are people in the industry at the higher levels that are like Hulk Hogan's, that it might not be a good idea to stand up to them.
No, but even Russo learned that.
But I can tell you this much right now, on the indies, who gives a shit?
Yeah, there's no Hulk Hogan's on the indies.
Yeah, no. And if anyone's standing in your way as an obstacle, you can just address it to them personally. And if they still want to be a fucking prick, then take your ball and go somewhere else. You know, like, there's a lot of options that are available. The amount of eggshells that people place around the ground of people that shouldn't be addressed, right? Fuck that. Address them and take care of your shit. Speak up for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are counting down to WrestleMania 3 at the Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan. Of course, on Sunday afternoon, March the 29th, heavyweight champion of the world, Hulk Hogan. I cannot believe that the pressure is not starting to get to you. A title defense against your former friend, now bitter enemy, Andre the Giant. In his corner, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and you know what people are saying all around the world.
I don't care what the people are saying around the world, man. I want to live forever, brother. You know, I'm not worried spiritually about this thing. I got my travel arrangements made. I got the deal upstairs already done. But it's morally, brother,
Andre the Giant is the only reason I can't live forever, man. I've seen the little Hulkamaniacs. They're trained in the prayers of vitamins. They're going to live forever. Hulkamania is going to live forever. And if Andre the Giant physically destroyed me, physically wiped me out, physically took the belt, maybe the little Hulksters wouldn't believe that you got to play it straight, that you got to keep your head high, man. Andre the Giant, Hulkamania will live forever. And in front of 93,000 people, brother, with the whole world watching on closed circuit TV, you will feel the power of the largest arms in the world. You will feel the wrath of the Hulkamaniacs, Andre the Giant. And if I get you down in a compromising position, there will be no mercy, brother. I'm going to think about the time when you tore my shirt, when you ripped the cross, when you tore the heart and the souls out of all those little Hulksters, brother. And if nothing else happens, man, if nothing else happens, I'll get you for that.
All right, the heavyweight champion of the world with perhaps his biggest test ever.
It's an interesting conversation because it's an industry that is overflowing with ego.
Yes.
And people are, you know, all competing politically for TV time.
Yes.
Or in the independent case, just ring time.
Yep.
And there are just snakes in the grass who are willing to do whatever it takes. And for the longest time, that sort of behavior was encouraged. You know, you gotta, you know... I know this sounds strange. I got a sneaking suspicion that Seth Rollins is where he's at because he knew how to play the game,
right,
and played it well. I can't back that up with any facts. I just got a gut feeling about that dude. I'm sure he's great, but he knows how to play the game.
Right. And not to mention that, I mean, he also is able to produce great matches.
Oh, yeah. That's on top of it. But the funny thing is, and I've heard William Regal say this, if you can have a good match, that's a bonus.
Yes.
You know.
Not a necessity.
No, not necessarily. No. I mean, Hulk Hogan's the biggest proof of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan had the same match 8,000 times.
Yes.
Arguably more than that.
Yeah.
But having said that, that's the biz. You got a hot thing, you build it. And then you tour it around the country till people are sick of it, and then you change it, do something else.
Yep.
And McMahon, for some reason, didn't want to change it.
No.
He kept him a babyface and then basically gave him the exodus out the back door.
Yes.
And Bischoff had the wherewithal not to bring him in, because I don't think that was as great of an investment as he thought it was going to be, but he had the wherewithal to go, hey, want to be in this NWO?
Yeah.
And took a little convincing, but once it got going, Hogan finally was like, fuck yeah, I do.
Right. And not only that, but it was one of those things that I think that for me, I grew up in the generation of Hulk Hogan is the fucking heel of all heels.
Right.
With the painted and the dyed mustache and the painted fucking beard.
He had dyed everything.
Yeah, and the...
Actually, I was doing some prep for the show, and the amount of hair loss between 82 and 87 is astonishing. Because he comes into WWE, not with a full head of hair, but with a lot of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And in 87, he is full skullet.
Yes. And what do they say, man, is like, you can never go bald if you have a bandana. You know, that's an old trailer park trick.
And the funny part is that no one gave a shit.
No.
No one fucking cared.
No.
And another funny thing is that when he turned heel, all the things that you loved about him, immediately something just went off in your brain. It was so scummy.
Yes.
The way that he worked, the way that he looked,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything about him was like gross. And then he changed his gear and his gear was kind of gross. You know, yeah. Like the airbrushed lightning on the black tights, yeah. The fucking white boots. It was with airbrush on them.
It was the king of the trailer park. Like that. It was meth biker. Like
he was even more tan. And then at a certain
hot dog skin.
Yeah. Hot dog skin. And at a certain point in the match, the bandana would come off and just expose the baldness, and then the hair would get wild.
Yes.
And he just looked like a fucking crazy person snuck into the ring on the gas.
Bill Murray and Kingpin. Right.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
When Bill Murray is going, ha!
Yeah.
And posing.
Yes.
And his hair, his comb over is completely combed the wrong way. It's come undone. That is Hogan during his heel time. The bandana comes off and he's just like sweating, and the paint in his beard,
is running.
And he is so slimy looking. And by the way, covered in baby oil, so he does look physically slimy.
Yes.
It's so, the package, obviously I hated it at the time.
Yeah.
This guy's the worst, and he
But you
won't
were supposed to hate it, man. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No, but that's the point.
Yeah.
You're supposed to hate it, which is why I can look back in retrospect, despite the fact that he has this terrible reputation.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he had the title and the company under his thumb, and that people were going, you know, behind the scenes were nuts about it to the point where they left, and he overstayed his welcome. I can look back on that period of Hulk Hogan for 2-3 years, despite the fact that it led to some pretty stinky feuds.
Yeah.
With Piper and Warrior and any number of fucking stupid characters.
Yep.
But my vision, what I think about, is always hearing Voodoo Child and him coming out, the sparklers go off, and there he is. He's playing air guitar on the fucking WCW title with a look on his face, even though he's wearing sunglasses. You can tell he's got the world by the balls.
Yep.
And he's having the greatest time of his life. And I got to tell you, I don't have that many spirit animals. That is one I aspire to. I want to be as happy.
Yes.
As Hulk Hogan playing Voodoo Child on my fucking golden belt.
Yes.
Because
spray painted with the NWO logo.
Yes. Just everything about it. He was such a cock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he was on top of the world. It makes me, like, when I see those videos of him coming out and doing that.
Yeah.
I laugh so hard because it's like, this guy is having the greatest time of his life. Yeah. God damn. Of course, but everyone hated him, including me at the time.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, is that my favorite thing is when people first start watching wrestling, Casey, when she first started watching wrestling on the local scene, she absolutely hated with a burning passion inside of her soul, Ricky Tenacious. Okay.
And is this the Songbird?
The Songbird, yeah. Yes. And I kept on trying to explain to her, you're supposed to hate Ricky.
Right. That's the idea.
Then finally, when she started paying attention and realizing to where he sets his stuff up.
For people who don't know, Ricky Tenacious is a modern day Tony Clifton.
Yes.
Carry on.
And does a brilliant job at what he does.
Yeah.
And once Casey finally saw how brilliant he was at being despicable.
Yeah.
Unlikable. Please stop singing. Right.
Yeah.
Then she finally realized, oh fuck, I get it now. It's really good. And now she appreciates it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But she might have undone the business. She's out there cheering.
No, she'll still boo.
Yeah, oh, folks, yeah. Just so you know, because your wife is newer to wrestling than the average bear, there kayfabe doesn't just happen on one side of the barricade. It happens on the other, too.
Yep.
We all got a role to play here.
And try to play your role as best as you can, right? But there is something cool about being against the grain, though.
There's a huge thing about it. I'm a huge counterculturalist.
Yeah.
But I don't understand people who go to wrestling shows with the intent of fucking it up.
Right.
Especially people who know how much it bothers the people who are trying to put on that show.
Right.
You know, it really does bother those people. You can see in fucking Cesaro's face
that to
when
me,
he's busting that beach ball, like, fuck this. Why won't anybody do anything about this? And fuck all these people.
Well, yeah. And at that point, I'm pretty sure Cesaro could probably challenge at least 80% of that room to a fucking fight and win.
Hold on. 80%?
All I'm saying is that that's a pretty big arena, and he might get tired after the first couple thousand.
Oh, I see. You mean at the same time.
Yeah. And even then, Cesaro still might be able to fuck y'all up. And that was a period of time.
I have a feeling that someone of the size of Cesaro... Let's say he went full Brody.
Yeah.
I imagine that 100% of the people would get out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
If he just started swinging a chair and moving forward into the audience.
Yep.
It wouldn't be like the Ron Artest LA Lakers street fight where the team went up into the stands.
Right.
And some of the fans were trying to fight back because they had a few beers.
Right.
Nope. These wrestling fans would get the fuck out of the way if Cesaro, Claudio Castagnoli, was fucking coming up swinging a chair with a mean look on his face.
And I remember there was a period of time, and I think that kind of stopped it for a little bit. You don't see a lot of fans trying to hijack shows as much anymore.
Right.
But it is, there is a beauty to being able to voice your opinion.
Sure.
But at the same time, if all you're doing is going to a show just to take the piss out of people,
right, what'd you buy a fucking ticket for?
Correct. Correct. That's,
if you don't like this, then what the fuck are you doing here?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It'd be like if I went to LA and just wore a fucking MAGA hat to walk around in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm asking for it. By the way, I don't own one of these hats. I don't like Donald Trump. I'm just giving a funny example.
Right.
It's the equivalent of that.
Yes.
You deserve to get your ass kicked by the rest of the fucking audience.
We're going to replace the MAGA hats with the Silas Mason's jet fuel can't melt steel beams or this big old dick.
What are you talking about?
That Silas Mason has that as a hat, and I would rather wear that than the MAGA hat.
What does it say now?
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams or this big old dick.
What the fuck?
Yes. It's my friend.
You can't take the south out of the boy.
No, not at all.
But, yeah, man, it's interesting. Hulk Hogan, it seems, at this point, is universally hated. I don't know anyone who really likes him, and they look back.
Well,
they do the opposite of rose-tinted glasses. They look back and act like he wasn't shit.
Right.
And that he was never shit, and he's a fucking terrible human being. And I don't know, man. Part of me has a little sympathy there.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough, because I don't give a shit that much.
Right.
But it is unfortunate.
I don't have much sympathy for people that do really dumb shit, and then they end up getting caught doing really dumb shit or saying really dumb things.
Now, everyone granted, does really dumb shit.
But private conversations, like the one thing that really got him heat was his choice of language when it came to describing his daughter's current boyfriend. Right.
I shouldn't laugh.
Right.
I'm laughing at the way that you put it.
Yes.
His choice of language. How about his choice of verbiage? Hey, said about her daughter's boyfriend, he's one of the bad ones.
Right.
And that's very frowned upon language. It's interesting. On one hand, it's obviously the worst possible case scenario. Like, you can't say that.
Right.
You know, like, that's not right. On the other hand, are we supposed to give in to, like, people who are on, you know, because he was being blackmailed and embezzled? Like, I don't know.
But here's the thing, too, is that,
you know, I've never heard it. I've never clicked on any of those links.
Yeah.
Not because I'm trying to save some face with some old hero of mine.
Right.
I just don't click on that kind of shit.
Right. And ultimately,
but a lot of people do.
And they're, once again, though, like, if that's how somebody actually feels, okay, I don't want to talk to them, right? If that's how they feel about a different race or something like that, and if they're comfortable enough in a private setting to talk like that, right, I will not talk to them past that point.
Sure.
So, and unfortunately, there's plenty of other things. Have you ever been threatened to be blackmailed before?
Ooh, well, let me think about this. I want to say yes, but it was laughable.
Right.
And because they didn't realize they were talking to some punk rock kid. And I said, buddy, give it your best shot.
Right.
This is the early days of the internet where people thought they had some shit on me. And I was like, you don't have shit on me. I don't give a fuck about nothing.
Right. And I have also been threatened to be blackmailed before. And at the time that I was threatened to be blackmailed, I was doing shit that I shouldn't have been doing.
Whatever it is, it's got to be worse than anything I've ever done.
Well,
I'm pretty innocent.
Right.
Except for some colorful language on podcasts.
Yeah, there was a period of time.
A different kind of language than Hulk Hogan's, by the way. Let me be clear.
Thankfully. this would be a different scenario, if not otherwise. But I did some shit, and the shit that I did put me in a situation to where somebody could blackmail me.
Right.
Okay. I did that to my fucking self, and thankfully they didn't pony up, right? And if they did, I would still be able, it was enough for me to say, I'm sorry that I made a poor choice of judgment, right? And it didn't have anything racially charged or anything like that, but I was caught hanging out with people I shouldn't have been hanging out with, right? Ooh. And this was years and years and years ago, Right. And I learned a very valuable lesson.
Mine was just that people were like, I learned your real name.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't fucking care.
Right. Right. No. And mine was, we're going to show these messages that you were sending to this person. It's like, OK, well, there's just as much to make that person look like a bad person in those messages as me. So feel free. Fire off if you want to, and I'll hold myself accountable, but at the same time, you're not going to scare me. Like, but I found out a very valuable lesson. If I don't do shit like that, shit like that doesn't fucking happen, right? At least not in normal scenarios.
But that's part of life.
Right.
Hulk Hogan is here! Hulk Hogan's here! Hulk Hogan is in the building!
You damn right he is!
Go get him, Hulkster! What are you talking about?
Yes, sir!
Get him, Hogan! Go get him, baby!
Come on and get some of this now!
Who's bad now, boys?
Hulk Hogan arrived! Hulk!
What is he doing?
Oh, my God!
Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW! He is the third man!
Look at this
picture!
Oh, my God!
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God!
Are you kidding me?
Probably the lowest shot ever given to professional wrestling. That man did right there, Hulk Hogan.
Let's get everybody out of the dressing room right now and kick his rear end.
Unbelievable, brother.
You just sold your soul to the devil. These years? Huh? What have I been saying all these years?
Oh my God.
A career of a lifetime. Right down the drain, kid. I hope you love it.
Can you see
just sold your soul to the devil.
See those little Hulksters with the tears rolling down their face right now?
We are not going to even acknowledge that three count.
Now what happens to us? What happens now to WCW?
There was no three count. I never thought I would say that he's yellow, but he may be wearing red, but he's wearing red and yellow.
What do we do now?
I'll tell you what. This is a unbelievable situation right here at Bash at the Beach. Hulkamania, the third guy with the Outsiders, betrayed WCW.
Can't talk.
Excuse me. Excuse me. What in the world are you thinking?
Mean Gene, the first thing you need to do is to tell these people to shut up if you want to hear what I got to say.
I have been with you for so many years. For you to join up with the likes of these two men absolutely makes me sick to my stomach. And I think that these people here and a lot of other people around the world have had just about enough of this man, and you want to put yourself in this group, you've got to be kidding me.
Well, the first thing you got to realize, brother, is this right here is the future of wrestling. You can call this the new world order of wrestling, brother. These two men right here came from a great big organization up north, and everybody was wondering who the third man was. Well, who knows more about that organization than me, brother?
I've been there, I've done that. You have made the wrong decision, in my opinion.
Well, let me tell you something. I made that organization a monster. I made people rich up there. I made the people that ran that organization rich up there, brother. And when it all came to pass, the name Hulk Hogan, the man Hulk Hogan, got bigger than the whole organization, brother. And then billionaire Ted, amigo, he wanted to talk turkey with Hulk Hogan. Well, billionaire Ted promised me movies, brother. Billionaire Ted promised me millions of dollars. And billionaire Ted promised me world caliber matches. And as far as billionaire Ted goes, Eric Bischoff, and the whole WCW goes, I'm bored, brother. That's why these two guys here, the so-called outsiders, these are the men I want as my friends. They're the new blood of professional wrestling, brother. And not only are we gonna take over the whole wrestling business with Hulk Hogan and the new blood, the monsters with me, we will destroy everything in our path, Mean Gene.
Look at all of this crap in this ring. This is what's in the future for you if you want to hang around the likes of this man Hall and this man Nash.
As far as I'm concerned, all of this crap in the ring represents these fans out here. For 2 years, brother, for 2 years, I held my head high. I did everything for the charities. I did everything for the kids. And the reception I got when I came out here, you fans can stick it, brother. Because if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, you people wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff would be still selling meat from a truck in Minneapolis. And if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, all these Johnny-come-latelys that you see out here, wrestling wouldn't be here. I was selling out the world, brother, while they were bumming gas to put in their car to get to high school. So the way it is now, brother, with Hulk Hogan and the New World Organization of Wrestling, brother, me and the new blood by my side, what you gonna do when the New World Organization runs wild on you? What you gonna do? What are you gonna
do? Don't touch me, I'm gonna plead the lawyers.
You go through life, you make mistakes, and hopefully you learn from those mistakes.
Right.
And now, saying this as a middle-aged white guy,
yeah,
I can forgive Hulk Hogan because he did say, I remember seeing him say, look, it was during a fucking terrible time in my life. My son had just fucking killed a guy.
Right.
My fucking my career was going down the toilet, and my fucking wife had just left me for pool boy.
Right.
And sued me for, you know, a shit ton of money. I said something really rotten, and he, you know, but his problem is he doth protest too much, but that's his own burden to bear.
Correct.
You know, but I'm not going to hold this down on a motherfucker for making mistakes when, you know, at the time 7 years ago, for the same reason I'm not going to fucking come down on Ric Flair for his myriad myriad
right.
of mistakes that he's made over a lifetime, and he's respected like he's some sort of deity.
Well, but for me, I do feel differently because I'm just going to throw that one rock
well, we pick and into choose, the... Right?
Well, and correct.
We pick and choose because, look, there's. I'm sure somebody would come along and be like, how about you forgive me for my sex crime? And I go, eh.
I don't think I would.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's the one where I go, eh.
Well, but Flair was accused of a sex crime.
Accused is one thing.
Accused and settling out of court is also another thing.
Hey, man. I don't write the laws. I just respect them.
And I don't respect the fucking law whatsoever because I've been put in situations to where it's very clear that I'm in the right. But because I can't actually get video surveillance of somebody damaging my property, I'm told that it could be anybody. Yeah, no, it's a fucking joke, man. And the real issue is that I will hold Hulk Hogan accountable for what he said because that rock goes into the basket with every other shitty thing that he's done that would make him be somebody that I would not want to vouch for, advocate in any way, shape, or form, and also say, yeah, fuck this person. You know, and the whole entire Flair thing, man, like,
people, that's just one example of many.
It is one example of many, but at the same time, it's...
By the way, I'm not like saying that Hulk Hogan needs to be president. I'm not even saying he's my favorite wrestler.
Correct.
He doesn't crack the top 50.
Right.
I don't give a shit either way.
He had good matches with Muda in Japan.
Sure.
That's about the only glowing thing that I can say, but at the same time...
He had great matches all through the 80s.
Of course.
But people would disagree with that because he, you know, wasn't fucking running a bunch of spots. But to a child version of me...
Oh, yeah.
That guy could do no fucking wrong.
And that's the actual shame, is that unfortunately when you... For all the positive that you can say... The comeback, Hulk Hogan revolutionized the comeback in professional wrestling.
Well, he solidified it, I think. I don't know that he revolutionized it. He
solidified it. Yep.
He made it standard.
Yes.
It became a standard issue thing of, all right, here's what we got. You know, you fire up, you hit the thing, you do the three things, you go for the finish, and one, two, three, crowd pops.
Yep.
That's WWF formula to a T. Mm-hmm. You want someone to get over? Do this match 356 times a year.
Right.
That person will be your star.
Right.
And even if he's a bald hot dog boy. Skinned.
Yeah. The golden hot dog boy. And I mean, the yellow tights with the ketchup knee pads don't fucking help anything. You got mustard and ketchup on your dog. Right.
It helps the skin pop somehow.
It does. I'm aware. But for me, like I openly say, yeah, we all pick and choose what we want to be mad at. Now, what I'm picking and choosing to be mad at when it comes to scenarios of Hulk Hogan is that there's just some really extreme things that have happened within his behavior patterns that have led me to the conclusion of this is not somebody. Remove his fame, mm-hmm. right? Remove anything else that you know of him. If he walked through the door of Future Stars of Wrestling tomorrow, I'd be able to figure out pretty quick, oh, yeah, no, this dude is a grandiose narcissist, and I'm not going to tolerate his bullshit.
Sure. And but I don't think you can dismiss his fame in that scenario.
No, you can't.
Because you cannot... This is a deeper conversation than I suppose I expected, but you cannot expect what it means to be a super successful millionaire for over two decades.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like I imagine it twists people in a way.
And I'm sure that it does.
Vince McMahon was an alien from Mars by the time he retired.
And here's the sad part is, and this is what really bums me out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these are the reasons why these people are successful. But then at that point, then at what cost? You know what I'm saying?
Well, what is the cost? At the cost of other people, you mean?
At the expense of other people and their comfort and the long-term damage that could come across when it comes to waving your dick at somebody on a helicopter. That's not Hogan, that's Flair.
Right.
But
I'm sure that Coco Beware was a swell dude.
Yeah.
But he wasn't the top. He wasn't the top babyface in that company.
No, and unfortunately, the industry I think has made a lot of really positive terms or positive turns when it comes to not tolerating certain behavior anymore. Right? I think that there are enough people that, like, if somebody's acting out of line, they're like, "Yo, stop doing that! Don't be a fucking idiot."
Sure.
Right? And unfortunately, though, that still seeps through at the very top. I mean, once again, with all the AEW drama, with the media scrums and the Twitter beefs. And
as long as there, television time in the world of professional wrestling is worth its weight in gold.
Yep.
If you're not fucking cutting someone's throat to get some, you're not trying hard enough, unfortunately, because right. There's only so much of it to go around.
Right.
And it sucks, but hey, look. Another example, I'm sure Sean Spears is a swell dude, and this motherfucker hasn't seen TV in I don't know how many months.
Which is actually a gigantic shame, you know, because I actually think that he's a great wrestler as well.
Great wrestler, but as far as a worker, he hasn't been over since, let me reword that. He has not been as over as he was when he first debuted or when he was doing the 10 gimmick over in NXT.
Right. Well, sometimes that is
not the guy.
Yeah. Sometimes that's not just on the actual performer though. It's where they're positioned, because I can tell you this much right now. I could be on top of the world if somebody would give me the ball and run with it.
Sure.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes when you're supposed to wrestle Team Filthy at FSW, the Mecca, and you're going to be in the ring with Tom Lawler.
Is this something that's coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead and
plug. Yeah. Oh, I'm plugged to be on the show, but the match isn't plugged.
No, I'm saying plug the event. Oh, you don't know off the top of your head.
It's at some time, right? It's at some time between now and then, right?
But do you want to say what?
It's
who is on Team Filthy?
Tom Lawler and Royce Isaacs and Jarrell Nelson. And they are a top team in New Japan Strong. Right. And to me
and you,
yeah,
and two other people, I imagine.
Yes. And I'm not going to say anything because it might be a surprise.
Oh, but I see. We blew it.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'll put in all the beeps.
No, you don't need to put in beeps because it's been vocally said in other forums. Right. So, but at the same time, how many people are listening to said podcast that I'm talking about where this was announced? Right. And we're, I believe, 9 days away from the event. I think it's October 23rd at Silver Nugget. And it's...
God damn, the Silver Nugget.
We had to go back, yeah. Jeez. It's extremely frustrating. Yeah, it's not easy.
Are you saying it's extremely frustrating because it's hard getting fucking venues out here?
Yeah, because we got screwed over from Sam's Town.
Just so people have an understanding.
In Vegas.
who aren't in Las Vegas. The Silver Nugget is on the exact opposite end of the valley from my fucking house.
Right.
I'm talking like it's a 45-minute drive.
Not to mention that it's also in the fucking hood.
Yeah.
Right. The room is nice because it's big enough to accommodate people.
Right.
But Sam's Town, unfortunately, FSW went into Sam's Town, and that's what got people interested in running professional wrestling shows out of Sam's Town.
And now companies like
Ring of Honor came in and paid a lot of money to be there. So they drove the price up.
Oh.
So us trying to go back into Sam's Town through management changes and things of that nature, like, yeah, you're going to pay what these other people pay. And it's like, in all candor, we're the ones that got those companies to want to film there to begin with.
Yeah, didn't you lend them your ring or anything?
And we have done that before, but it's always rented out by the company that's renting our ring. Right. Impact Wrestling rents our ring.
Right.
So, but we haven't been able to get a FSW show in Sam's Town in quite some time. It's no different than
to know what the cost is.
Diversion Amusements was a fantastic venue for us.
Lasted one show?
I think there was three.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. And unfortunately, there was a big show that was lined up. Joe had already purchased flights for people. It was a Mecca as well. And then some people came in like, hey, we want to run a music festival on these dates. We'll give you more money than they'll give you, even though you already have the booking with them. So then Diversion Amusements attempted to tell Joe DeFalco, the promoter of Future Stars Wrestling, yeah, we're going to just reschedule your show. And it's like, no, you're not going to reschedule our show because we already have the date set and advertised and we already bought tickets for people to fly into fucking Vegas for this.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, we're sorry, we can't do it. Right. So that left us back in a situation. And the Silver Nugget's actually a pretty historic building.
Yeah,
because it used to be the Showboat.
Hey, Showboat. Fucking Cactus. Well, hold on. It did not used to be the Showboat.
But AWA ran there as well.
Sure.
That's what I meant to say. So
yeah, the Showboat,
my apologies,
is a completely different building. In
right.
fact, I don't even, it's, the building's not even there anymore.
It's demolished, yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing the AWA at the Showboat
mm-hmm.
and at a small bar across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, Cactus Jack had a match, I think, with Sabu at
yep.
the Silver Nugget.
Yeah.
Where the things ended up on the goddamn, what are they called?
Blackjack it? Table.
Roulette table.
Yeah. Something. But that building has been historic for wrestling. Right. So it's cool that we can
not
go back
that
there.
Historic.
Hey, well, man, I can tell you this much right now, man. People know that match. You know, people know that it was in that venue. Like,
I don't know that they know that it was in that venue.
Right.
I just happen to know a lot of shit.
Shit, but there's nothing wrong with knowing a lot of shit. But
sure.
As far as, you know, the ECW arena is also kind of in the hood off of Swanson and Rittner in, you know, South Philadelphia. So, like, it's also not the most romantic area in the world over there, but it is historic because the things that did happen there.
Right.
And it's really sad because, you know, I was the very first wrestling match that happened at Sam's Town.
Mm.
I was the very first one. And
who did you wrestle?
I wrestled Beast the Butcher.
What a name.
Yes. And that was... fuck, man. I want to say like 2012, 2013. And since then, you know, like, and it's become a great venue for professional wrestling. It's not the best hotel and casino in the world,
right.
But the room looks fantastic.
Where was Jeff Jarrett's company, Global Force?
Global Force was done at the Orleans, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
That might be too high of an asking price, too.
Yeah, precisely.
That's a bigger place.
Yeah. So we've done the East Side Cannery before.
Oh, that's a good place.
Yeah. it wouldn't be bad getting back in there. But once again, it's just a matter of trying to find a new venue, right. You know, and it's for right now, we at least have the Silver Nugget. And yes, I will be wrestling at the next Mecha card against Team Filthy with people to be determined.
Right.
So, and we're excited for the match.
How much does it cost to get you guys to put on a show in my backyard?
Well, brother, I'm sure we can rent a ring from Ricky Tenacious at Big Valley Wrestling. We'll come and set up the 16-footer, and we'll have a match for you in your backyard.
Let's get that Outlaw Mud Show going.
I'm already ready already.
Timothy Styles Turnbuckle Boogie Mania.
Yeah. The logo would look good on turnbuckles.
I agree. And in the middle of the mat,
yeah.
I think. Folks, get yourself a Turnbuckle Boogie t-shirt. It's goddamn cool.
Knock it off already. Just buy the shirt.
So let's wrap it up with Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you really think.
Yeah. I think that don't be an asshole, kids. Like, that's just, don't put yourself in situations to where anyone would be able to use anything that you would say against you. And if you think that way sometimes, and even if you're having a bad time, maybe don't try not to think like that. Like,
this is the most Vegas. And I mean vague-ist, not Vegas, advice that I fucking ever heard. Like, yeah.
If you're
of gonna, course, yeah, you should be. Look, I'll give you. My father, when I was young, gave me a laminated card. It was the size of a business card.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, keep this in your wallet. And it had on it the golden rule. Now, I'm not going to credit this stupid card with teaching me the golden rule. It's just something, you know, that you just, you either get it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. It's as simple as that. We can do away with the entire Bible with this one little fucking quote.
Yeah.
It's a good way for everyone to live their life. Treat others the way you want to be treated. And if you want to be treated like a dick, then feel free to fuck off forever. Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devolutor production and is produced by Timothy Styles and Cody Hancock, with web production and music by Timothy Styles. Follow the show on Instagram at Turnbuckle Boogie. And for merchandise, follow the link in the show notes to our Brainbuster Tea Store. See you next Monday.